And a very good morning to one and all. It's the start of a... Excuse me, please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Please be quiet.
But will you?
I'm on the radio right now.
But will you?
Will I what?
Like I said before, with the sheets, if you go to the diner, I'll buy you like a lunch or something.
No, I'm on the microphone right now.
I know,
now.
But I want to get going.
Yes, okay, I will.
When?
Later, certainly.
Well, when's later? I mean, after you... No, I can't do it tonight, though.
Jesus loves you. Remember that.
Usually,
you can get out of any situation by saying that. It's the start of a brand new day and the start of Christian brain damage. Once again. No, I mean it. Please, be quiet. Oh, yes. This is the beginning of the program.
To Brain Damage with Eric Corlin. We'll be right back.
has begun. Another Sunday is here. And that is the sound you will never hear when you talk to God. Because God has call waiting. God has three-way. God has...
We're sorry.
That shouldn't have happened. God has all kinds of features that you, you'd have to pay a lot for here on Earth. That's why God can listen to so many different people at once. It's often asked of me, all kinds of things are often asked of me, but this is one thing that's asked fairly frequently, and that is, how does God listen to everybody at once in all different languages? Well, first of all, we must clarify a couple of things. God does not listen in all different languages. God only listens in English. Just as God is only listening to Christians, God only listens to people who speak English and are Christian, because the Star Trek era is not reality. You don't have ways of listening to all different languages at once. It would be rather expensive to do things like that, and plus they haven't been invented yet. So English is the language of our Lord. That's important to remember that. And yes, you could say that Latin was a very important aspect of Christianity, and of course it is, but it's only true purpose, as we all know, was to create English. And I'm glad we cleared that up. We have some important things to discuss tonight. We have a special guest, and we also have Spiny, who's the guest. But, well, it's not that you're not a special guest. Not as special as the person that... I hope I'm not insulting you by saying this, but you're not as
revered?
You won't be talking for as long as he'll be talking, let's put it that way, because he has much to say. But I have a confession to make. It's not the kind of confession I'll be getting points for or anything like that, but it's... not really something that will be happening live here tonight. It's something that took place last week when I was away at Bible camp, and I recorded it, and it was very, what's the word? Well, I learned something from it. Very educational, that's the word.
You went to camp, did you?
Yes, I did. That's why Matt was here last week.
Would that be a retreat?
No, it wasn't a retreat, because it was...
You held your ground.
Well, it was right out there in the fields and woods. And nothing really, we didn't retreat at all, we went there.
That's cool, so you sat around...
Nobody was chasing us, not that anybody would.
You sat around and studied the Bible and listened to music, right?
We listened to music.
Rock music, I guess, and you had a good...
No. The rock and roll, that's part of what tonight's topic is going to be, the...
Good, because I like rock and roll.
The evils, well, then you should listen to this...
It's drainpipe,
this gentleman. Fantastic. Who I had the pleasure of meeting in person, who will explain exactly what I've been trying. He does it much better than I could ever hope to do. Why rock and roll is the instrument of Satan, why those of us who insist on listening to rock and roll will burn in hell. I know that sounds harsh. Well, it is harsh. It's about as harsh as you can get. It is as harsh as you can get, in fact. I just would like you to think of something. Now, there's more roll today than there is rock. That much we can certainly agree upon, if nothing else. But rock and roll is still a very present evil. You could easily call it roll and rock today. And if you say that, you're talking about beer. Beer is another evil. Rolling rock.
Hoochie-coo.
Yeah, think about that. Rolling stone gathers no moss. I don't have to explain the biblical proportions of that, not do I?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
Go on.
Well, you've told me of some developments in the radio station while I was away. We've had lots of listener feedback, and some of it good, some of it puzzled, some of it bad.
Yes. And a couple developments. Developments in the radio station.
Tell me what I've missed.
Personal spiritual life myself.
That's good. Okay, go in whatever order you feel is right.
Okay, one... people have been listening to your show and taking it to heart, and people have been moved.
There was an article in Billboard about this, actually.
I missed that.
Not this week, the week before that. Something about religious radio stations. I didn't get it because I was away, and unfortunately, we talked about demonic forces at the radio station, and they tend to make off with magazines when they arrive here. However, there was an article about the fact that the station is slowly but surely moving in a Christian direction. Mm-hmm. We are winning the battle.
The tides are turning.
We are winning the battle, and with your help, we can strike out the satanic forces, drive them away into the land of impurity where they belong.
It's just, it seems that some persons or a faction here at the radio station have been won over to our side and blanketed.
This is the first time you've said our side. Does that mean you're on our side?
I'll get to my own personal.
That's very, very enlightening, and I'm happy to hear this.
Happenings in a minute.
I'd like to welcome you into the kingdom.
Well, thank you. I've been ringing that doorbell for years.
Thank you, and thank the Lord.
Hemingway, these people came in and put Jesus in Me Loves You pamphlets and stickers all over the station.
Oh, bless them.
And I thought that was a very nice show of support for you
bless
and the show and the work that you're trying to do.
Bless their brains and livers and kidneys and everything, every other organ that they have.
And their printing press.
Yes, bless the printing press. Hail the printing press. Jesus in Me Loves You. They put them inside the phone.
Put them inside the phones and every access.
So every time you picked up the phone here at WUSB, you would see Jesus in Me Loves You, as instead of
hello USB,
instead of the phone number or whatever other buttons we have here. And I think it's important to put. Did you notice the payphones? The payphones in New York City, every single one of them says praise God. Yes, it's either praise God. Or
deposit 15 cents.
No, well, it says that 25 cents. Praise God, hail God, love God.
The phone says
on the silver part. Yes, go into New York City and look on a payphone, and it says that they got them all over the past month or so, ever since we started this.
Huh.
They have these diamond, special diamond instruments that are meant to carve into the metal plate of the telephone. It's work for the Lord. There's many things you can do for the Lord. There's train trestles, there's stop signs, trees, beaches. Actually, I'm not quite sure how you would do a beach, but there are lots of ways of expressing the joy that you have for Jesus and for the Lord. And sometimes a simple bumper sticker will do. Sometimes something must be carved into flesh. It depends on how strongly you feel and what the message is that you're attempting to convey. Our message here is extremely strong, extremely strident. It does rub some people the wrong way. We had even had a telegram last week. Did you see the telegram?
No, I don't.
They wouldn't show it to me for some reason. They said it was too serious for me to see. Some people I guess the more demonic faiths that are out there have taken this in a bad way, and in a way I feel it might be the luckiest thing that has ever happened to people that are going down the wrong road to hear us, who have so obviously found the right road, and they're hearing us call to them, no, right at the light, don't go straight, make a right turn.
Yield to the Lord.
And you can make a right turn on red, you can make a right turn on green, you can make a right turn on orange. Just look first before you make the right turn. Look for pedestrians, look for dogs and other cars and things like that. And make that right turn, join us on our road. Our road is a one-way street. It's a one-way street, so you have to make that right and then make another left once you get to our street. And then we're together for eternity. Eternity. Can you say eternity?
Me?
Oh, sorry.
Eternity.
Good. Now, you had something else to tell us.
Yes. I'm going to take up and help you with your work. I saw an ad in the back of the Inquirer, and I think there's a few in the back of the Star, those magazines that say, you know, they're good because they constantly report sightings of the devil and Jesus, so I think every good Christian
not
should read them.
Not good for children to see pictures of the devil on supermarket checkout.
Well, obviously parents should be screening these things. You know what I'm saying?
It's not appropriate. They should be, I believe, covered up, and only when they are asked for should they be shown.
Right.
And only to responsible people that will know what to do when they see the devil.
Uh-huh. But my point is, those magazines are good because the other so-called real newspapers, like the New York Times and whatever, they suppress...
Satan is the editor of
right,
the
and
Times.
They suppress all the information that we Christians need to know about and know what's happening. But in the back, they have, for people who want to help with the Lord's work, they have these ads where you can become a reverend yourself and minister the good word to everyone. So I think it only costs like $1.50 plus postage and handling, and you get this lovely certificate saying that you're a reverend, and now we're able to go out into the world.
$1.50.
$1.50. $2.50 maybe, I don't know. Plus postage and handling, mind you. I mean, but it's well worth it if you ask me.
It's in English?
As far as I know, yeah.
And they say it's Christian.
Yeah.
That's all that the Lord wants. It's all the Lord cares about.
I mean, of course it would be in English. What other language would it be in?
Another thing, people often ask, repeatedly actually, how the Lord is able to listen to so many people at once. And the fact of the matter is,
He has soul waiting.
Well, that's humorous. He doesn't listen to a lot of other people. He doesn't listen to people that don't speak the right language. He doesn't listen to people that don't practice the right faith. So there's a lot of people out there talking to themselves. The Lord's phone only picks up for English-speaking Christians. That's important to realize. And I hope people don't think that that's at all divisive. I hope people don't think that we're trying to faction people off into different sects and things like that.
Sex?
No, S-E-C-T-S. This radio station really imposed some bad morals on people. The important thing is to know what the right path is, and that's what we're here to tell you. We're here to tell you what path to take and what paths not to take. There are many of them. Many. Yes, it was an impressive 3 days at that Bible camp. Unfortunately, this happened last weekend. It rained. Rain like the dickens. I've never seen rain like that before in my life.
The Lord's rain.
We got very wet. We got very wet. And in fact, the tape that you will hear, it came out. I'm amazed it came out. Thank the Lord that it did. But you will hear the rain. You will hear the rain. You will hear the storms that pass through. And this very knowledgeable person will be speaking on rock and roll and the evils therein, how it affects people. It's interesting, too. It's rather humorous because several years ago, we also played something by this minister, except back then we were misguided, as it were, and we mocked him. Yes, we mocked him. And we regret that very much. It goes to show how forgiving the Lord is by allowing us to rack up 63 points over the course of our lifetime and stand here before you today and repent. We will not mock Pastor Fletcher Brothers today. No, we will not. It's 25 minutes after 12 o'clock, and we also have a couple of other things that we'd like to share with those of you out there, the people that have chosen to remain with us and follow us along this pathway, to be our stones, as it were, the stones of our foundation, to keep your eyes closed and follow the light wherever it goes.
Where she stops, only you know.
Thank you, yes. It's time for us to hear something rather inspirational, and this is something that I was able to find in my collection. I was led by Satan in the 70s to many, many bad vices. Many bad vices.
And well, the 70s were the devil's own decade.
Well, the particular bad vice that I was led to back then was music. Rock and roll music, as we are talking about here tonight. And there are some things that are able to survive, to pass through, and to reach out and inspire. And that's what I wanted to play for you today, something from my 70s collection that was actually a beacon of hope. And I'd like you to listen to this. Oh, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. Engineer, please stop that. Please stop. That's not the right song. It's not the right song. Can we, it must be another selection on that record. I'm not sure what the number is. No, I'm not sure. So try the next one. It must be the next one. Yeah, that's not it either. That's not it either. Can we try something else? This is certainly not it. It wouldn't have a beat like this. This is evil.
I remember when Mary Lou...
All right, please fade it down. Fade it down, please. There's a problem here in that we don't seem to know which particular selection it is. All right. These things happen. These things do happen. Well, we don't know exactly what we're supposed to be playing. Well, I know what we're supposed to be playing, but it doesn't seem to be coming up. Do you think you have it, though? Oh, he's nodding. I think... Okay. Let's try it again. He's saying hail, but I don't think he's hailing the Lord. I think it's the song right after that. Can you try the next one? Yes, this is it. This is it. Thank you very much. Please listen and learn, my friends, brothers and sisters. It brings back such glorious memories of what good try to survive back in that evil period of time. Sister Janet Mead scored in April of 1974 with the sprightly version of the Lord's Prayer. The American nun sounded like Maria von Trapp after seeing a Peter, Paul, and Mary concert. Actually, nothing about the record is as memorable as Casey Kasem's deft introduction on American Top 40. Observe, Casey, we've had the Singing Nun and the Flying Nun. Now here's the Rocking Nun. And that's all what I remember off the top of my head. I didn't like the way he said that, because it really isn't rock. Rock is like a four-letter word. Did you enjoy that?
I have a prime example of evilness of rock and roll.
Well, I'm not sure if all right, as long as our listeners
just
know
for a second
that this is a test of people's ability to recognize what is evil and what is just put it down anywhere?
No, first track. Opening line, you'll hear it.
All right, here we are.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
Well, that certainly does say it all. She'll die for her sins. She'll rot in hell eternally for her sins, as will you if you do not follow the word. Come to our side before it's too late. And, you know, people come up to me. In fact, that was one of the letters we got this week. Is that one here? Yes, listen to this. Dear Eric, so you're a Christian now. My, how phony we are. How is it, pray tell, in quotations, that somebody is able to rot in hell when hell is eternal and rotting is a finite act? Signed, Confused in Selden. Well, you certainly are confused, I will say that.
If you're living in Selden.
No. We have many good Christians living all over the island, and we don't want to alienate people, but that is a pretty silly question, if I must say so myself. Yes, rotting is something that that takes a little bit of time, and then you all rot it out, and it's over, and you're not rotting anymore. Rotting doesn't take forever in the human sense, but in the spiritual sense, rotting is forever. In the spiritual sense, you can always rot into perpetuity. And that is how it is possible to rot in hell forever. Always. Never quite rotting out entirely. Always getting a little bit more degraded. It's like the longest half-life in the world. Do you want that to happen to you? Each life being reduced less and less and less and less, until you're so infinitesimally small that even a microscopic organism would turn down his nose at you. This is not the way of the Lord. I realize this is painful for some people. But once you see the lights, you'll understand. Now, we have our very special guest that we want to get into, and who will teach in a much better way than I could possibly teach. Although, maybe in a few years, I'll be able to stand in front of a camp in the rain and say some things. To bring us into it, I'd like to share with you one more important piece that I've drawn from my collection of evil satanic music that I will be burning soon. Not this piece. This piece I will not be burning, because this piece is inspirational to many of us. Let us be inspired, and let us listen to Pastor Fletcher once we become so inspired. This is Christian Brain Damage. Not right. right. That's not right either. That's not right. Please stop that. Please, please stop. I'm not sure what's happening in there. I don't wish to lose patience with the engineer, but the wrong songs keep getting played. And I know Tammy Faye doesn't like it when that happens. There's no reason for me to like it. Please get the right thing on the turntable there, and we'll continue with the program. All right. I think he has it now. Let me just ask one thing before we continue. Are you sure? You're sure? Because I don't wish to get angry when the microphone is off. You're sure this time? All right. Because we're playing more demonic sounds than we are spiritual sounds, and that's not a good thing to do. In fact, you might have racked up a few points just now. Okay. If you're sure you have it, play it now. Yes, that's very good. Thank you very much. Please clap along. You can even get up and move around a little bit, but don't gyrate or anything like that. Follow your instincts. don't need to hear that. It's the experimental part. Fade that away. Thank you very much. Yes, we have the devil on the run. He is trying to take over our CD player again, but we drove the beast away. We all did. We felt the collective spirit moving to drive the forces away and allow us to proceed in peace and harmony. And that is what we are about to do as we continue with our mission. Amen. If you would like to write to us at Christian Brain Damage, you can do so. Care of WUSB. At the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Stony Brook, New York, 11794, I believe it is. 11794. And please, we'd like to know how you're progressing. I feel like I've made a lot of progress in the past few weeks. Yes, my whole future has been changed. Well, now it's time for us to do some serious teaching. We're going to play the tape that I made last week at the Bible camp that I went to. I'm afraid I'm not allowed to tell people where it is. Apparently there's some concern over authorities driving forces out of in some particular manner. In fact, it was interesting. There's kind of a process you have to go through before you're actually allowed inside the building, where you're asked several questions, and they, I guess they have to make sure that you're not carrying certain things into the establishment, which I understand perfectly, and that's the way it must be. This was as we were gathered around the campfire on Saturday night. Unfortunately, the campfire did not really take. It wasn't really lit as well as it could be because of all the rain. However, we felt it was best to keep everybody there outside. We had some college students, some young people that were there to hear the teachings, and we thought it was best to stay outside rather than bring everybody indoors where the message might be lost in the process. So listen for yourself. Tell us if it affects you. By all means, spread it around. Play it for people at school. Pass it around everywhere you can. That's how the word is spread. Not so much like peanut butter, but like jelly, I suppose. Like jelly on Wonder Bread, because jelly on wheat gets... It doesn't spread as smoothly as it should. Cream cheese, yes. It's more like cream cheese. It's... Cream cheese on something very hard, like a cracker. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. Yes. I'm sorry, I was wondering. We're going to play the tape now. Thank you, and we'll be back. Yes. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. I'm sure. Did you have something to tell us, Spiny, while the engineer is figuring out how to put the tape in the machine?
Nope.
Because you ran in here like you had something to tell us.
Oh, well, I'll wait till the tape starts, because I'm dying to hear the tape. I'm not really dying to hear
it. I hope you're not. I hope you're not.
But I do remember
him. He's signaling. I think he has it ready now.
He's got it? Good.
I think so. Okay. We're going to go back to the tape. Or we're going to go to the tape now, and... We'll be back in a little while.
Have your scriptures handy. Let's go tonight to the book of Exodus.
Exodus chapter 32. When you have found Exodus chapter 32, just put your finger there or marker there. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of what's wrong with rock music. I have been preaching against rock music for a long time. There were times or years and days when it was a very lonely subject to talk about. You were considered a wacko. You were considered to be just a fundamental Bible thumper. And yet in recent days, even the President of the United States, school teachers, parents, educators, politicians of all sorts have come out and said this stuff is bad. So it's not just us fundamentalists that are saying it any longer. It's about anybody that has a lick of sense in their head that deals with young people. There is no way in this world that you can deny the effect that rock music has on young people. When we started several years ago, we had to talk about backward masking. Well, we don't have to talk much about backward masking anymore. It's frontward masking that's vulgar and filthy and satanic. We talked about free love and the suggestion of free love and the infiltration of drugs into rock music. We don't have to talk much about that anymore. That's pretty well bygone old kindergarten stuff. Today we talk about suicide. We talk about Satan worship, the occult. We talk about rock stars that have satanic seances before they go on the stage. We talk about rock stars that openly in magazines make quotes about trying to cast demons into records before young people buy them. Matter of fact, rock music, the rock industry, is changing so rapidly that I'll not talk to you much tonight about the lyrics or mention much about individual bands because it just waxed worse and worse and worse every day. The other day, there was a newspaper article where they've now handed down in New Jersey 117, I think, indictments against one group. And they are proving now that organized crime is behind rock music to a great degree. Well, that's nothing shocking. Organized crime is behind drugs. Organized crime is behind prostitution. So why not get involved in the music that's turning our young people into sluts and turning our young people into potheads and drug heads and all the rest of the stuff. So that doesn't come as a great surprise either. But the bottom line is, I will say again, as I've said so many times, I believe that rock music is the number one enemy of a teenager today in America. Yes, there would be drugs without rock music, but nowhere as near to the degree that we have it today. There would be teen suicide without rock music, but nowhere to the degree that we have it today. There would be rebellion, but nowhere as near to the degree that we have it today. And I believe now in my 12 years of dealing... I believe that having dealt directly with thousands of young people, I believe that operating one of the largest homes for troubled young people in America qualifies us to know a little bit about the subject. I can't remember the time when I took any young person into this facility who was involved in drugs, who was involved in extramarital or premarital sex, whose life had been destroyed through maybe abortion, or whose life was messed up at home, that they were rebellious, that they were in the sewer, if you will, of life. I can't remember ever taking a young person in those circumstances that rock music did not play a major part in their life. So we don't have to go, I don't think, any longer and prove that rock music is bad. You only have to listen to the news accounts. You only have to read your newspaper. As recently as yesterday, this headline in the USA Today newspaper, 10/30/86. This is the third update I've done on the What's Wrong with Rock Music message in just the last 3 or 4 years. And from the time I recorded the last update till now, it has blatantly gotten much worse. We're going to talk a little bit about the lyrics, or the general lyrics, the general trend. You know what's wrong with most of those lyrics? I can't read them to you. You know, we used to be able to read the lyrics we were talking about. Now we can't even read the lyrics because they talk about sadomasochism. They talk about anal rape. They talk about cutting the skin off from kids and watching them bleed to death. I kill children. I love to see them die. I kill children. I love to watch their mothers cry. They're blatantly satanic. They suggest having sex with the devil. They suggest killing your parents. The vile, filth, and garbage of this world is blatantly sung now in rock music. So we can't talk much about the specific lyrics, per se, because they change every day. If I were to read to you Motley Crue's album, by the time this tape was produced and sent out, it would be old hat, because Motley Crue will come out with something more vulgar in the days to come. Mr. Ozzy Osbourne is always thinking up new trash, new filth, new garbage, a new way of enticing people. He's got a new satanic theme now that he's running with in his concerts, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We print a rock music report, and quite honestly, by the time the ink is dry, new things have come along to horrify people who love God and love morality. But there are certain things about rock music that never change. We'll deal with those things tonight. Steve Booker was a normal 13-year-old kid. But as he entered the world of rock music, he became defiant and antisocial and spent hours at a time listening to music such as the Kiss groups earlier on, and the AC/DC, and then it went on and on and on, and started. You know, it's an interesting thing, but Kiss seems so mild today. You know, AC/DC seems so mild today compared to people that masturbate on stage and have oral sex on stage, and or anal sex and all types of things advocated now and openly to our young people. You know, AC/DC with its album covers and all the rest of it earlier on. You know, it's so passive. The album covers that actually portray demons and witchcraft and Satanism. You know, that which horrified 2 years ago even seems mundane today because of the new horrors that are being propagated by rock music. As typical parents, his family had no idea that the LPs were filled with songs about drugs and rebellion, or that AC/DC sang songs of revolt and self-destruction. However, on March 27, 1981, when Steve propped a gun against the floor, put the barrel to his forehead, and pulled the trigger, the Bookers began to search for an answer to the question asked by all parents who lose a child to suicide, why? The answer came through Steve's music. Mentioning several suicidal and violent songs from Steve's favorite tapes, the father said anyone would have to be a fool to think that it had no influence. We're not saying that he killed himself only because he listened to music or to the lyrics like this, but if it was in his mind and he already had this suggestion, the music gives suicide credibility. It promotes it, encourages it, and advertises it. John Tanner, a young man that we had on our television program, showed his story. At age 16, he moved from a big city to a small Midwestern town. He felt he needed to, quote, act tough and look tough. Part of his new image included listening to drug-promoting, self-destruction songs by Black Sabbath, groups like Blue Cheer, Led Zeppelin, and Grand Funk groups. That's before suicide was even a popular message. Yet they know of 38 people who have killed themselves. I can't get into it. 38. They trace 38 kids who killed themselves in one song. Alice Cooper sang a song about going out and hanging yourself. And they have found as many as 16, I believe is the last count, 12 to 16 young people that they know of who've gone out and hung themselves after listening to that song. We find stories of the young man down in Eden, North Carolina, who jumped off a bridge in front of a car, left a suicide note, said, "Tell the Scorpions, their number one fan, has come to join them. I've flown to the rainbow because their song says, fly to the rainbow. You're not a part of this world. You're part of a mystical world. This old boy writes out in a note and says, tell the scorpions I've flown to the rainbow. And he walks out onto I-40 and jumps off in front of a car and kills himself. I believe that Derry would tell you that his daughter might well be alive today if it were not for the influence of rock music that got her into the drugs, that got her into the rebellion. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Rock music comes, and then comes the drugs, and then comes the rebellion. And my friend, it'll suck you in just like a giant vacuum cleaner. It sucked John Tanner in. Of course, the thoughts of suicide, quote, were instantaneous, but they did come. Thoughts, he insists, came directly from his music. I, quote, think from being real dedicated to Black Sabbath because they are really depressing, that I got from them a real deep depression, and I'd say that that's where the suicide stemmed from. In a desperation move one night, John finally decided to end his life to find the, quote, peace and happiness, quote, Black Sabbath promised would come, quote, at the end of his days. He skipped school and stayed in his room all day listening to albums, especially Black Sabbath and Grand Funk's. By 5:15 p.m., the music had done its work. John was psyched up enough to place a shotgun to his chin and pull the trigger. Miraculously, John lived, but his entire face had been blown away. Quote, I thought I'd pull the trigger, then I wouldn't feel any pain. John explains, but life-saving and reconstructive procedures have cost John much pain as well as time and money. Eric Anderson of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, became interested in rock music when he was about 11. And though his parents didn't particularly like the music, they never considered that it might harm their son. Soon, he acquired a tape collection of his favorite groups, Van Halen, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, Quiet Riot, and Motley Crue, and had his walls covered with bizarre posters. It wasn't long before Eric and his friends were listening to heavy metal rock music day and night. The family had MTV on cable, and his mother, Marge, says, quote, Eric was known to have stayed up and watched it until 6 in the morning. Though the Andersons knew that their son was hurting and tried to communicate with him, neither thought his music was affecting him. However, the night before he died, Eric and his friends even held a seance in which they attempted to contact the spirits of the dead rock, to contact the spirits of dead rock stars. The next day, he placed a .22 rifle to his head and did the bidding of his hero, Ozzy Osbourne, who sings, quote, suicide is the only way out, end quote. It was only after his tragic death that his parents realized that the sensitive boy who loved his family and didn't want to hurt them had become convinced by his heavy metal music that suicide was the only solution. Our father operated tonight that as we take a good look at this subject of rock music, I pray you'd open our minds. I pray you'd open our hearts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to hearts tonight, not only those in this room, but those that would hear this tape. Dear God, might we in some small way have a bearing on them to sit up and realize and think for a few moments about the wicked, evil influence of this music. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I said that we couldn't talk about much of the lyrics or many of the new groups, but the vulgarity and the filth and the garbage that is going on amongst the new groups is just absolutely filth. We have songs today that talk about incest. We have songs today that advocate suicide, as I've mentioned. We're also moving into sadomasochism, moving into killing of babies. We're moving into pedophilia ideas of having sex with children. Macrophilia, where we're going to have sex with the dead, and on and on and on it goes. Interesting, here in 1030-86 in this USA Today newspaper article, it says, troubled teens turn to music, not mom. Just read the first couple of paragraphs. Kids in trouble will turn to music, drugs, friends, and even video games before they'll talk to their parents or other adults, a new survey shows. Listening to music was the copping out technique and coping technique of choice amongst 3,600 rural Minnesota teens surveyed by the University of Minnesota Medical School. The teens ranked 54 coping options, including talking with their parents and other adults, but that was near the bottom of the list. Moms were 31st and dads 48 out of 54 coping techniques for young people. Listening to music was the number one idea for coping for these teenagers. I keep hearing people say that there's nothing wrong with rock music. But I believe tonight that there are hundreds and thousands of young people, like those young people I read to you of just a few moments ago, who would be alive today. Young people who have killed themselves either intentionally or accidentally because of the effects of rock music. People say to me, Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? Everything. There's not one thing right with rock music. And there are four very specific M's about rock music, of which I want to talk to you about tonight. Four M's of rock music. First is what I call the music itself. Or let's talk about the beat. Dr. Joe Stuzzi, who, by the way, himself was a former professional rock musician, said this in an interview in September of 1985. Number one, he said, music does affect behavior. It affects our moods, our attitudes, our emotions, and our behavior. It affects us psychologically and physiologically. How many of you go to the dentist in your life? How many of you go to the dentist? Okay, how many of you like going to the dentist? Okay, let's mark those that are sadomasochistic. We have some. You like going to the dentist, Brian? It turns you on, huh? Gives you a great buzz. You what? You don't get. He doesn't get cavities that way. What's the first thing that happens when you walk into the dentist? Have you ever noticed that they play some music? Huh? Let me ask you what kind of music they play. Huh? Do they play the bebop, get out there, and boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie type of music? Huh? Huh? They play Kmart music. All right. What kind of music do you think that... Nice, easy-going, soft music. You know why they do that? They want to relax you. Now, first of all, can I tell you something? They can play all the music they want to. They will never relax me in a dentist waiting office. I don't care what. They'll never relax me in that office. They'll never relax me in that chair. And Mrs. Jackson back there, my secretary, will tell you that I hold the record. I probably have broken more dental appointments than any man living on the face of the earth. I look forward to breaking them. I look for excuses to break them. I pray in the morning, dear God, help some emergency come up so that I can break my dental appointment. Matter of fact, I'll say to Brother Norman, you call me and tell me we got a big problem about 11 o'clock, because I got a dental appointment at 11 o'clock, and I want you to... Matter of fact, I will drag my feet. I will leave the office late, trying to hold out for the last moment to see if somebody might call and there might be some reason I can break that appointment. I don't like going to the dentist. But they play that nice, soft, easy music, don't they? Huh? That's to get your mind off the pain that is about to take place in your body, okay? You say, no sweat, Pastor. You don't have to worry about the pain because they'll give you Novocaine. That's right. That's when they take that needle 18 inches long and stick it right straight out through the top of your head. You're a dummy if you believe that, friend. They come and say, I'm going to give you a shot of Novocaine so you won't feel it. Then they lie to you and tell you you're only going to feel the first couple of pricks. You're right. You're only going to feel the first couple of pricks for that needle until the Novocaine wears off. Then you find out that dodo used you for a pincushion. And all them other things that you couldn't feel, they're sorer than the devil now. You come back from the dentist's office. You try to drink some coffee or some water. It dribbles down your chest. I mean, you look like a slob. You know what the interesting thing is? There's nothing to this. So how come you're putting that bib on me? That's a good indication somebody's going to bleed. And you'll notice the nurse doesn't have one on. And the dentist doesn't have one on. You're the one that's got it on, right?
So what they do, they play this nice, easy, relaxing music. Why? Because music affects.
If it doesn't, sometime when you get your first speeding ticket, while there's a up-tempo song on the radio, you remember I told you that.
You're driving along and you got easy listening music on or some nice easy gospel music on. There's nothing to it. But you get something that goes boogity, 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 boogity. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to start going boogity, 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 boogity. And the next thing you know, there's going to be some red lights behind you. Now, you do this. You get out of the car and go back and say, Mr. Policeman, you aren't going to believe this. But you see, the problem was, I didn't listen to my pastor when he told me music affected me, and I am learning a good lesson right now, and you know what I've been doing? I've been going boogity, 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 boogity. And now, you wouldn't want to mess up my experiment and give me a ticket now, would you? And then that's going to be another lesson that you're going to learn about police officers. They don't buy those kind of stories, all right? Now, all right, Dr. Susie said it affects our moods, it affects our attitudes, it affects our emotions, and it affects our behavior. Now, they have done scientific studies with monkeys. Very close to some of you dorm boys. They have done scientific studies with monkeys. And they have been able to drive monkeys to frenzy with music and actually get them to perform sexual relations in the cages by simply stimulating them through music. They have been able to drive certain animals. I don't know whether they use rats or whether they use girls from girls' dormitory, but they have been able to drive certain animals basically bananas. I thought it was interesting. A year or so ago, they captured or kidnapped one of our envoys over in Italy. It was interesting that the whole time they had him in captivity, when he got out and they tried to deprogram him, they tried to brainwash him, they tried to do, he said, day in and day out, they pumped me with rock music. I thought that was interesting. Now, if you know anything about Nazi Germany, if you know anything about how Stalin and his boys operated in the Soviet Union, one of the things that they would use to try and drive people bananas, to break down their will, was they would put headphones on them and they would pump squealing, pulsating, vibrating sounds into their ears. And that would, I mean, that would penetrate their brain and cause damage. Now, Dr. Sissy goes on to say this. Music can make us feel relaxed. It can make us feel scared. Isn't it interesting? You're watching a horror story. Huh? Mrs. Cotting comes out of a back, dark area. She's about ready to pounce on some poor, unexpecting little child. Along comes the good fairy, Mrs. Gilbert, on her hoverer, you know, her broom with a hover on it. Wow. All right. Here. We got a spooky story. Would you agree with me that there is music that they use in those spook-type movies? You know, that's supposed to get you all nervous and jerky. You'll notice they don't play the Tennessee Waltz in a Halloween flick. Okay? Now, you watch some of the old westerns. Somebody's just about ready to creep around the corner and shoot somebody, and there's certain... Haven't you ever wondered where the music came from? They're 500 miles out in the wilderness. Somebody's creeping around behind a cactus. A cactus out there, and there's a whole orchestra out in the desert. Have you noticed that? Now, there is certain types of music that can be used to scare you. There are certain types of patriotic things. You don't play the Star Spangled Banner at funerals. Do you? Would you agree with me tonight that there is some music you would consider funeral music? Da, da, da.
Now, that is also interchangeable for weddings. Now, would you agree with me that there's patriotic music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's funeral music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's scary type music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's relaxing type music? Yes. Matter of fact, there is also boogie type music. There is music that'll make you happy. There is music that will make you romantic. There is music that will pump you up. There is music that will depress you. Man, I'll tell you what, have a fight with your girlfriend or break up with your girlfriend or go through a breakup in a home or lose your love, if you will, and then turn on a country and western song and have some... I done lost my baby last night. She done dumped me for my best friend. Poor loser is he, sucker. You know, I mean... All right. Am I right? All right. Now. Okay? Okay? Dr. Stussy noted something else. He said repetition increases our preference for that which is repeated. And it gives us retention of the message. Repetition causes us to like something more. The more you're around something, the more you'll get used to it. And it will also cause you to retain the message. You know what? I hear kids say, well, I don't listen to the lyrics. Well, how come you're singing them? You may not listen to them, but you've got them in your brain. Because I can take a song and do just a little bit and play fill in the lines, and you can fill them in. My son is 7 years old. We bought him a cathedral tape. He got a little radio and cassette recorder for his birthday, and we bought him a cathedral tape. You know what? He's got those songs memorized. We were playing it on the way to Rochester today and in the car, and Jeremy, you could hear him right in the back seat singing right in never. I mean, he was there. He knew them all. Now, listen. We are programmable. And what I said to you this morning about the devil, listen to me, the devil knows how to program you. And I believe with all of my heart, the devil has programmed two generations of young people for absolute total destruction through his music. Now, the Bible teaches very plainly that for everything God has, the devil has a counterpart. As I said to you this morning, the Lord has his music. But so does the devil have his music. You know what? He would not. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't have music. The devil's got everything else God has. He has his apostles. He has his servants. He has his churches. He has everything else. Listen, the devil has to have his music because he has to have everything that God has. So what he has done is over recent years, listen, he did not come out in 1960s. He did not come out and say, all right, here's a song about sadomasochism. There's a couple of songs on here about worshiping the devil. Here's a song about sacrificing a friend to the devil. Here's a song about butchering your mother. And for our top 10 roundout, this is called Murder by the Numbers. And it tells you to go out and kill people that you think are a bore. Bump off your entire family and whatever. Now, hold it now. Betty, the rest of you, Mrs. Donnelly, some of you that have been around for years and years and years and years and years. Now listen, Brother Decker was a pipsqueak in the 60s. How old are you now? 29. All right. 1960, let's see. Let's go back 26 years ago. He was 3 years old. Can you see Brother Decker going in and saying, Mommy, listen to the music, can you? No. Okay? All right? So that wasn't, all right? He wasn't even born yet. I mean, really, he was 3 years old. He was a baby. You ask Maddie if her generation would have tolerated that trash. Let me tell you something, young people. You don't know this, but in my generation, when I was in school in the 60s, If some teacher had walked up and said homosexuality was all right, my dad and a bunch of other dads would have been down there and they'd have strung him up. And if any school board people had gotten in the way, they'd have been strung up. So the devil didn't come along with his sadomasochistic themes and his satanic themes and whatever. He came in with a group called the Beatles, with a new hairstyle and a new beat. Everybody thought they were cute. And that one group right there has done more to destroy young people than any other group I can think of, because it was a beginning place. And from that day to this, it's continued to be a straight downhill slide. And the devil has known exactly what he's done. First, he got God out of the school. Let's get God out of the minds of our kids. Then he began to program a nation anti-God. He started working with the young people, and he got the riots, and he got the rebellion, and he got the new morality going. And everybody got off on civil rights and rights and this rights and everybody's rights and whatever, and he got the kids going on their rights. Then he got mom and dad so busy trying to keep their own act together. In the meantime, he took television. When did television get so wicked and so vile? I can remember when it was a pretty good thing. When did that happen? It's happened in the last 20-some-odd years. You see, he's been working, and he's been working, and he's been working. To the day that today, a teenager, God bless you, I love you kids, but the sad thing is, you kids have never seen a moral America. Hey, I can remember when mom and dad were to be honored and glorified. I can remember when we walked into school, and we not only pledged the flag, but we prayed. Nobody died. No kid got hurt because of prayer. I can remember when teachers looked like teachers and didn't look like bums. I can remember when teachers had a morality about them. They weren't Baptist, they weren't Methodist, or whatever they were, but the honest, simple truth was they were moral. I can remember when God was not a dirty word. I can remember when love wasn't a four-letter filthy word. I can remember when it meant something. I can remember when children honored mom and dad, and husbands and wives stuck out and stayed together and made it happen. And I can remember when there was a patriotism, and I thank God we're on that backswing now. I see good things in America as far as patriotism. The sad thing is, millions and millions and millions of our young people have been wrecked by the devil over the years. And millions of young people today are in hell and will spend eternity separated from God because they believe the devil's lies. Music affects. It affects our emotions. It affects our attitude. It affects our outlook. It affects everything about us. You say, that's all right, Pastor, but I want to know if the Bible says anything about it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32 right now. Let me paint the picture for you. Moses is on the mountain. He has received the Ten Commandments. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 7, go, get thee down, for thy people, whom thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I want you to underline that word, corrupted. God said it. I didn't say it. You'll find out why they were corrupted in just a few moments. But God said, your people have corrupted themselves. Notice verse 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made to themselves molten calf, they have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these are thy gods. Interesting now. You'll notice they made one calf, but they use a plural there, and they say, these are thy gods. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about the these. These are thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot, or the word there is burn, against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. Let's get down to verse 15. And Moses turned, went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both of their sides, on the one side and on the other
were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. Word is engraved or graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard, I want you to look at that next word. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know anything about history, what's a noise of war? A beat. You go back and study American history. Go back and study some of the primitive histories. There was a beat of war. Matter of fact, the American Indians probably have taught us more about the effects of beats. They didn't have music. Back when my great-great ancestors, I'm of partial Indian descent, back when Cookie's ancestors, my ancestors, were whooping it up, making whoopee and noise, they'd start out with a beat. They'd start out with a chant. The next thing you know, that chant would pick up, and the beat would pick up, and they'd get a little bit of fire water in them. They'd start getting that beat picked up a little bit more. Frenzy would pick up a little bit more. How do you know? I've watched a lot of cowboy Indian movies. The beat would pick up, and the frenzy would pick up. The fire water would pick up. The beat would pick up and the frenzy would pick up until they got wild. And then they'd jump on their horses and go off and make war. Like General Custer said to one of his guys, he said, I don't know whatever got into those Indians. They were already at the dance last night. Now, they'd go off to war. But it wasn't war until the beat and until that effect of that beat had taken its toll. In the same token, Moses is coming down off the mountain, and he said, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them who shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them who cry for being overcome. But by the way, it sounded like it. Neither is it the voice of them who shout for mastery, or in other words, being enslaved and beaten and screaming and hollering and wailing because they're being put into slave mastery. No, but it sounded like it. And he said, neither is it them who cry for being overcome. You take and watch the news accounts. I watched one recently where one of the Middle East nations was bombing the other. I forget whether it was Iran or Iraq or Syria or whoever was involved. And they showed the women running through the streets wailing and screaming because they were being overtaken or being attacked. So it's a beat. It's a beat, and it's a screaming, and it's a hollering, and it sounded to Moses like people being enslaved and people being overtaken. But the noise, verse 18, of them who sing, do I hear. Now, it sounded like the noise of war. But it was actually some goings-on that you're going to find out about in a few moments. But let's go back to a word. God said they corrupted themselves. This is part of that corruption. Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? The music itself is wrong. The beat is wrong. The type of music, what it does, and the screaming and the hollering and the beat and all the rest of it. By the way, you take that same beat and that same hollering and screaming and apply Jesus' words to it, it doesn't change it a bit. Christian rock is just as bad as regular rock. Because it's the music. It's the music. You take a young lady and a young man. You know, it's pretty hard to do this to the Tennessee Waltz, you know? You know that there is a gyration. There is a frenzy. There is an effect that goes with that beat and with that music.
And boy, if they can get animals to react to it, they're going to get you to react to it. And they know that. By the way, you can't listen to an up-tempo gospel song without your foot starting to tap. And you know that's true. Now, we use 4/4 time gospel music here, and it's interesting. I like to sit up here and watch your faces. Now, you know what? I don't have to listen to the beat of certain songs to tell whether I want to use it or not. All I got to do is watch out what it does to you. Now, young people, you know what I'm saying to you tonight is true. Music has an effect. All right? What else is wrong with the rock music? All right? Number two, the message is wrong. Hey, take sex, drugs, rebellion, suicide, murder, sadomasochism. Y'all know what sadomasochism is? Some of you look blank in your face. How many of you do not know what sadomasochism is? All right? Good. Sadomasochism is like taking a young lady's body and cutting it to pieces. Songs that talk now about I had my ultimate sexual experience when I shoved my knife in her and ripped her up to her throat while I was having sex with her. That's sadomasochism. Songs now that advocate cutting bodies into pieces. That's sadomasochism. All types of filth and perversion and garbage. That's what rock's about now, folks. These heavy metal bands have removed all bars. Mr. Prince, that filthy pig. The joys of incest. Sir, he might sue you when he hears that. I hope he does. The joys of incest. God pity his reprobate heart. He needs to get saved, his life straightened out, and go do something with his life besides pervert young people's minds. Ozzy Osbourne's satanic messages. The filth and the garbage. And it's your kid putting his finger under your nose saying, I ain't going to take it anymore. You laugh at it now, boy, and you think it's hot stuff now, but when it's your kid on the slab in the morgue, it's not funny. And you young people sitting in front of me and the young people that listen to this tape have got a problem. The Bible says whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Don't you forget it. And the devil knows that too. The devil's no fool. He knows what the Bible says. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. You say, Pastor, I don't believe this stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You tell me that when it's your 18-year-old girl and she's dead and they call you down to the morgue to identify her. Hey, you tell me there's nothing to this stuff if it's, look where it's at now. Look at the filth it's advocating now. Wait until you've got a 13-year-old. I've watched this filth since 1960 right on down. I didn't know that Lucy in the Sky and Diamonds that the Beatles sang about was LSD. I didn't know that some of the songs the mamas and the papas were singing about, you folks in my generation, were advocating drugs. But the devil already had his messages in there.
All right, that's the first part of what I got at the camp last week. All the rain. It was quite a sight, seeing Pastor Fletcher jumping up and down, pacing back and forth in front of that fire. He was soaking wet. He was as wet as all the rest of us, but the passion of the moment was felt by all. The rightness of his words stabbed into us like a dagger, I suppose is the best way to say it. And I certainly hope it's had an impression upon the impressionable people out there that we try always to impress. Because that's what you're there for, and that's what we're here for, and that's why we all coexist. This is Christian Brain Damage, and we will be bringing you the other part of that particular sermon. We won't have time today because we have more the regular satanic schedule that must it still holds here at the radio station. It's weakening a bit. With your help, it'll weaken some more. We can have programs like this on 24 hours a day and around the clock as well. It's 28 minutes to 2 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you if you're out there and if this has affected you in some way. Give us a call at 632-6901, area code 516, and tell us if you still have doubts. Because we're here to dispel your doubts. We're here to show you the proper path to take. We're here to make up for all the wrongs we've done in the past. And to hopefully be admitted into the kingdom. We have one of our usual pieces that we like to play here. Sort of a rallying cry for many of us. While we do that, if there's anyone out there that wishes to get counsel or advice or even be reprimanded, we can do that as well. 632-6901. That's our phone number, and if you dial it, you'll get us.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Preposterous.
I am God. You are God.
Does country go?
We are all God.
How God does operate that way?
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Preposterous.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Ridiculous.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Nonsensical.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
How can cults be so twisted and perverse? Plainness of what the Bible actually says.
Our churches today are full of a bunch of spiritual retards with a bunch of brain fleshers for preachers, and they haven't figured out that this thing is for real.
Oh! I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Demon.
I am God. You are God.
Destruction.
We are all God.
Terror. Torment. Tribulation.
I am God.
Fearful.
You are God.
Fiery.
We are all God.
Judgment.
I am God.
Lucifer.
You are God.
Anarchy.
We are all God.
Punish. Wail. Sweet. There was much of God. But the God of the Christian Bible is the only one.
Yes. I am God.
Until the end.
You are God.
In the beginning.
We are all God.
And he was the only one.
I am God.
And yet,
you are God.
Our people don't understand.
We are all God.
What we pray.
I am God. You are God. We are all God.
Oh, 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 oh.
And unless we are free of fear.
Yes.
I'm not really sure why that's there. I've said that before, but please take it away. Take it away. Thank you very much. Yes, and that's some more inspiration for you there. Here at the program, we're wrapping things up for tonight. Again, if there's anyone out there that would like to call us, this is your last chance, 632-6901. We've had a busy night tonight. Busy night, lots of things happening around here, lots of changes being made and progress happening right in front of us. It's amazing. Yes, it certainly is. If I sound out of place, out of breath or anything like that, it's because just thinking back on the events of last weekend, I'm transporting myself back there, and I'm thinking of the way it was, the moving way with which Pastor Brother Fletcher, was it Pastor Fletcher Brother? I'm sorry, I'm not good with names, but the way in which he brought the message out. Well, the things I've been trying to say for weeks now, he's able to say in half an hour and get it out. I mean, the thing about the boogity, 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 you know, I could never do that. I could never get it across in quite that manner and show people. And when he was saying that, too, he was gyrating, you know, not in a perverse type of way, but he was, he's a large man, so when he moves rapidly while saying boogity, 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 it creates an impression that lasts for many, many days, and you think about it. You dream about it. You wake up and realize that that this is something that is ingrained in you. It will not leave. And I'm sorry the video camera didn't work, because I would like to be able to somehow get on some kind of a TV station and show the folks just what it was like that rainy Saturday. It really was raining very hard, I should point out as well. But that didn't stop him. It didn't stop us. Hopefully it will stop rock and roll, though, because that's what must be stopped. And we have the means to do it here. We have this radio station. We have millions of people listening right now. And we've got the will. All right. It's 1:41 in the morning. And We're going through a lot together. We've driven out a lot of the demons. No phone calls from any demons tonight. Have you noticed that? They're all gone. They've all tuned elsewhere. Or perhaps they're all asleep. Getting up early tomorrow for you know what. That's what we expect people to do around here. In fact, in all honesty, being on this late is kind of inconvenient for me because I do the extended church thing there from 7 in the morning till about noon. Now I stand by the door and make sure that people that are getting a little hesitant about staying, I just make sure that they make the right decision. Let's put it that way. Someone has to do that, you know. Someone has to do it. Let's take a call. Good evening. Hello? Is anybody there? We picked up the phone and they hung up. It's understandable. People are afraid. This is a very important type of decision to make. Yes. Well, perhaps it's the kind of decision that should be made quietly and without fanfare. Well, here's a little fanfare to bring us ahead a little more. I wish we were able to play the second half of that tape, but it just won't fit in the time that we have. I'm sorry. I wish there was something I could do about it, but there's nothing I can do. So I'll do this. This is a good beat, by the way. It's not evil. Good. Good beat.
Thinking twice.
inspirational piece. Who was that engineer? You're shrugging your shoulder. You don't know who that was. And I don't know who it was either. But it was some Christian band, I guess, and a very inspirational religious piece there. And I thank them for releasing it to the public so that we may be inspired. We have a couple of phone calls. Let's see if we can get to them. Good evening. You're on Christian Brain Damage.
Hello. My name is Stefan.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
I'm fine, too. Thank you.
Yes, I've got some questions.
Questions. Okay. We're here to answer your questions and hopefully...
I heard Fletcher's sermon, and I totally agree with him, but two weeks ago, you talked about the Book of Sin and point values.
Yes.
That sounded very strange to me.
Yes, we're not here to talk about the Book of Sin today, because I have not studied it since I got back, but that is an essential part of Christianity, is the Book of Sin.
No.
Oh, I'm afraid it is.
Oh, Book of Sin is not Christianity. The Bible is Christianity.
Well, yes, but Bible is if you will, the main text, and the Book of Sin is like an offshoot, an asterisk, something that you refer to, kind of a reference guide. Like you have an encyclopedia and you have a dictionary, and then you have an almanac and a guide to sports and things like that. You need more than just one book, you see.
No. You don't need more than one book. But who wrote the Book of Sin? It must have been one crazy guy, or who was it? I don't know.
The Book of Sin is constantly being updated because there's constantly new sins. But as I've said in past weeks, the Book of Sin does not retract sins. Once something is a sin, it is always a sin. That's something very important to realize. For instance, pirating cable will always be a sin.
The Bible, that's no question, but the Book of Sin, you cannot make a list of special sins and then... say there's a special point value and you have a special amount of points, and it sounds really crazy. That's not Christian.
Well, now it's dangerous, of course, to question Christianity in that particular manner, and it's fortunate that we don't have call ID, because God does have caller ID, though. That's something very important to realize. Do not question this in one of your conversations with God, because it could lead to repercussions.
But God never said in the Bible that if you commit a special amount of sins, you cannot get into heaven anymore.
Well, do you see, your mistake is that you assume that because God did not say it in the Bible, God did not say it. Now, God speaks in many different books, not just the Bible. He speaks in motion pictures. He speaks on TV shows, even the daytime ones. He speaks in lots and lots of places. And he speaks in English, too, I should point out. He listens in English and he speaks in English. He can speak in other tongues. He can, and he can understand other tongues. He's a very intelligent God, but he chooses not to.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask another question.
Yes, certainly.
Are you a pastor, or what kind of person are you?
Oh, I'm just a simple lay person.
Uh-huh. Do you belong to a church, or...?
Oh, yes.
To what kind of church?
A nice big white one with a steeple type of roof.
I don't mean the building. I mean the inside.
It's very nice. We just painted it, in fact. The inside?
No, I mean, how is it called, the church?
How is it called?
Uh-huh.
It's...
The Lutheran church, or...
No, it's no silly words attached to it. Just vanilla Christian. That's basically the terminology we use.
So
no modifications whatsoever. Just plain Christian. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Don't listen to those people that say you must attach these particular words and modifications to the word Christianity, because it is not so. It simply detracts from the message that you're trying to send or receive.
Mm-hmm. So what? Where is the building? Where is the church? Can I go to there?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because similar to the Bible camp, the church is it's kind of heavily fortified at the moment, and that's only because, from my understanding, the people in charge are waiting for a particular day to arrive, and once that day arrives, there'll be a lot less people to worry about, and then when that happens... they can open the doors a little bit more and let more people in, because then the people will be good. But right now we have to worry a lot about the evil people that are out there, and there are so many. They're among us, and we must strive to find them and label them as such.
So you keep your the location of your church secret?
Well, it's not something that... See, I am a follower. I am not a leader. I wish to point that out.
I think there is no single church in America that closes its doors, and it's not open to all people. I think that sounds very strange. I don't know the how it is in America, the system, but in Germany we would say this is a sect.
Well,
where you are in.
S-E-C-T.
Pardon?
S-E-C-T is the word you're saying.
Yes, sect.
Yes,
how,
yes.
How do you pronounce it?
No, that's how you pronounce it, but the word came up before and there was some confusion because it was in the plural tense. Yes, well, it could seem that way, I suppose, but one has to become a part of the process to understand and then, become... you won't see the problems as much once you're inside it.
Another question: where took the Bible camp place?
I'm sorry.
Where was the location?
Well,
where
again,
took it place, the
again,
Bible camp?
Again, I cannot say exactly where it was, but it was.
No, why not?
It was raining. I'm not allowed to. I would get in a lot of real big trouble. I mean, not just the kind of trouble where you sin or something like that. I'm talking about. Men with black cars.
I don't understand. You cannot tell me where is your church, where is the Bible camp, who wrote the Book of Sin, where I can get the Book of Sin. You told us 2 weeks ago.
Well,
that
you
sounds,
see,
very
the beauty of religion is its mystery. There are so many unanswered questions, so many things that appear to be mysterious, but you just must...
Characteristical for a sect.
Open your heart, close your eyes. That's the key.
Close my eyes?
Yes, close your eyes because that's how you see the light. If you leave your eyes open, all you'll see will be street lamps. And that doesn't lead you anywhere except down a road and a road that doesn't go any place of interest.
No, that's crazy. I don't have to close my eyes. I think as a Christian, I should keep my eyes very widely open.
No,
seeing everything.
No, you don't wish to see everything, my friend. You don't wish to see everything because there are things that you don't wish to see.
I wish to see your church.
And there are things that God does not want you to see. And if God finds out that you've seen certain things that he doesn't want you to see, he'll be very sore. And you don't want a sore God.
No, that's crazy.
Trust me. Sir, we can talk about this further, but unfortunately we're out of time now. But I will be praying for you.
And who is Pastor Fletcher? Who is he?
I can tell you his background very briefly. He's from Freedom Village, USA, which is located, I believe, in Lakemont, New York, which is somewhere upstate.
Because what he said sounded very reasonable.
Yeah, he was our special guest this week, and he came by, and he tolerated the rain and everything like that. He even made a joke, which didn't make it onto the tape, about how it was an act of God, which I thought was rather humorous, God sending rain down onto someone like that.
One last question. Your program is called Christian Brain Damage.
Yes,
Why brain damage? You damage the brain or you...
Well, you see, it all stems back to the history of the program, and it was called Brain Damage before we were Christian, and now we're Christian, and we're looking for a new name, so if anybody wants to help us out with that, that would be very admirable and probably help you out a bit in your quest for eternal salvation and everything like that. But thanks for your interest. Thanks for calling.
Is there a way to get to know you better? Your church, your background, because you just tell a lot of don't know how to say slippery things, which you cannot really understand because it's like a horoscope. It says everything and nothing because it's just
yes. I realize this. It's a mysterious thing. It's a strange thing.
It's not a mysterious thing. And if it is a mysterious thing, it is not Christian, because Christianity is not mysterious.
Yes, well...
Not mysterious.
It's
the one and only religion which is not mysterious.
Well, it's...
Consider, for example, the... I don't know the English expression of the beginning of the Bible when the world was created. It's not mysterious. Everything is very... objective, for example, the stars, they are not gods. They are just lamps on the sky.
Yes.
That's an example, but only one of many. So it's not, it's no argument at all to tell a Christian when he has a question, that's mysterious. No, that's not mysterious, really.
Well, there are some things that remain mysterious, such as this thing, and there are some things that are obvious, and there are some things that are neither. And that's where the real interesting things begin. But again, we're out of time. We don't have time to talk about this anymore, and I'm sorry about this. Perhaps, with enough cards and letters, we can take over the next time slot as well, and perhaps the one after that, and we can talk about this all night
long.
Maybe
I may say one thing in the end.
One thing.
About the point values. I think it's total totally impossible that you can commit a certain amount of sins and then be very sad because you have to go to hell.
Okay.
There is no way. Whenever you have, on whichever point you are in your life and how many sins you have committed, there is a way to God and to heaven. And it's not a calculation. That's the main, most important thing about God, that he does not calculate. We summarize, we make a sum of points, but he does not make sums.
Well, no, it's done for him, but he sets the rules. He's God.
That's maybe a crazy idea of some man on earth, but it's not God. He does not calculate. There's a lot of examples in the Bible which show us that he is not calculating.
Well, if so, it's only because he has calculated and the answers are already written down and there's no need to check them. You see?
Which answers do you mean?
The answers to everything. It's all predetermined. So the need to calculate is totally unneeded.
Yes, but that's...
Don't you see? It's part of the...
That's not the argument. It's
part of the
predestination.
Plan.
That's another thing. No, I mean, you cannot say if I commit only one very little sin per day, it's fine. That's not the way. One little sin is the same amount as a big sin. You cannot say a little lie is bad is not so bad like I don't know what, like cheating at an exam. I think it's God doesn't look with these eyes.
Well, I'll spend some time this week capturing some bits of the book, and we can go over it in more detail next week.
Uh-huh.
And perhaps
we'll be back next week.
Oh yes, we'll be back every week until eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here. Listen, sir, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. And God bless all of you. And we'll be back next week, I suppose. Have a good night and a good week.
You're correct. There's nobody there.
Remember to keep your eyes closed. And in some cases, your ears.
This is William Merle, and you are listening to Dead City Radio on WUSB, Stony Brook, New York.
What are you here for?
You know?